Let's pray. Father God, Lord, give thanks for this day. Bless this word. It would be food to our souls, Lord. And would you speak to us and minister us and convict us? Invite you to touch our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. So we just finished 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're starting at 1 Corinthians 14 now. And we're going to read from verse 1 to 19. So we'll go through bigger chunks now. All right. So 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1. Pursue love, yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For one who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands, but in his spirit he speaks mysteries. But one who prophesies speaks to men for edification and exhortation and consolation. One who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but one who prophesies defies the church. Now I wish that you all spoke in tongues, but even more that you would prophesy. And greater is one who prophesies than one who speaks in tongues, unless he interprets so that the church may receive edifying. But now, brethren, if I come to you speaking in tongues, what will I profit you unless I speak to you either by way of revelation of knowledge or of prophecy or of teaching? Yet even lifeless things, either flute or harp, in producing a sound, if they do not produce a distinction in the tones, how will it be known what is played on the flute or on the harp? For if the bugle produces an indistinct sound, who will prepare himself for battle? So also you, unless you utter by the speech, the tongue speech, that is clear, how will it be known what is spoken? For you will be speaking into the air. There are perhaps a great many kinds of languages in the world, and no kind is without meaning. If then I do not know the meaning of the language, I will be to the one who speaks a barbarian, and the one who speaks will be a barbarian to me. So also, you, since you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek to abound for the edification of the church. Therefore, let one who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. What is the outcome then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the mind also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the mind also. Otherwise, if you bless in the spirit only, how will the one who fills the place of the ungifted say the amen at your giving of thanks, since he does not know what you are saying? For you are giving thanks well enough, but the other person is not edified. I thank God I speak in tongues more than you all. However, in the church, I desire to speak five words with my mind so that I may instruct others also rather than 10,000 words in a tongue. Amen. Yeah. So it's kind of funny because, you know, we just came from chapter 13. The whole chapter is on love. And basically, he compares it and contrasts it to spiritual gifts, which is love is far more important than spiritual gifts. And then in verse 14, I guess he kind of knows, right? He's like, okay, I just wanted to emphasize how important love has to be. It has to always be the motive, the intention, number one. And he knows that if I just stop there, people will almost think spiritual gifts are a bad thing. So now he goes on to talk about spiritual gifts. But he starts with pursue love, yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. So now he's kind of comparing also the spiritual gifts. It's like Paul is, you know, there's so many things to focus on as a Christian, right? But he's trying to kind of really define and make things clear, the emphasis and value. So in this case, in this chapter, verse 1 to 19, he's comparing and contrasting the differences between prophesying and speaking in tongues. And so speaking tongues, what is speaking in tongues? It's a spiritual language, right? And I guess in my experience, there's two types of tongues. One is, I guess, the more generic, more common speaking in tongues. It sounds like gibberish, right? Which is not uncommon. Any language that you don't understand sounds like gibberish, right? And one distinction about speaking in tongues is also often when you do it, you don't understand it, right? And so you kind of, it's something for us you do in faith, but you're doing it in the spirit. And just like any language, right, I think of a child when they first start speaking, I guess for most of us it's English or maybe it could be Chinese or Korean, their first words are very simple. It might be like, my mom always makes fun of me. She says when I first spoke, I was like, muh, muh. I just kept saying that, muh. You know, sounds kind of not so intelligent, right? But I wasn't. And so you start off just like a child, you make these very simple sounds, and then you start to develop that language. And much is the case in my experience doing it, as well as seeing it, people usually start with a sound, and as they start to continue to practice it in faith, they will expand their vocabulary. So that's one of the tongues. The other tongue that I've never seen, but I've heard many, even direct people, where they actually will speak a language that they don't know, right? So I've heard of, Caucasian people, they're speaking Korean, for example, in their tongues. And I had a roommate who said his aunt spoke in tongues. And she was just speaking in tongues. She didn't even know it was another language. She was just speaking in tongues. And then one day she was speaking in tongues in some cafeteria. And some person just approached her and said, why are you speaking my language? And she was obviously like really surprised and shocked. So she was like, what am I saying? Right? And so they proceeded, I think, to meet every day, and she would just speak in her tongues. Oh, this person was like, like a First Nations, is that the term? First Nations, like a native person in Canada. So I guess we say, anyway, so they proceeded to meet every day, and she just started to share in that language, and she would find out what, after that, she would ask the person, oh, what am I saying? And then it turned out, in tongues, in that person's language, she didn't know what she was saying, she was actually sharing the gospel, right? So that is another something that happens. Okay, not so common, I haven't met, but that does happen. And then there's also the gift that Paul contrasts, which is prophecy. What is prophecy? Prophecy, in this case, is different from just inspired teaching, because there is a Greek word for preaching. It's the word, I'm saying this wrong, caruso. But the Greek word that is used here for prophecy is very specific. It's prophetēo. And so just to define it, to prophesy, to be a prophet, is to speak forth by divine inspiration to predict. So it's predict. To prophesy It's with the idea of foretelling future events pertaining especially to the kingdom of God, to utter forth, declare a thing which can only be known by divine revelation. It's a break forth under sudden impulse in lofty discourse or praise of the divine counsels, under like prompting to teach, refute, reprove, admonish, comfort others, to act as a prophet, is discharge the prophetic office. So that's just a definition from the Blue Letter Bible. When you go into the Strong's, go deeper into what the word means. And so that's the two. So Paul's talking about these two gifts, and those are what it means. And at the very beginning, in verse 2, all right, Ben, maybe not so much commentary, okay? He says, "For one who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God." Already, I think that's a very important distinction. When we speak in tongues, it's done from man to God. It's not done man to man, right? It's a language the purpose and intention is we're just simply speaking to God. And part of it is because of that intention, it kind of makes sense. That's why no one understands what it's being said, right? Because, okay, the context of what's going on is, you know, there's a church service and people are feeling inspired and they're just coming up and there's just start, imagine like our Sunday service, they just speak in tongues for like, I don't know, a minute or whatever, and then they go off and it keeps happening, right? Imagine like during worship service, someone comes up like, "Hey, I have a word for us today," you know, and then they stand and then that was it. And so as you can imagine, people are looking and they don't, basically a minute or two of or more of the service time is being spent, but no one understands what's going on, right? And so Paul is trying to bring teaching and correction to this. And he's saying, yeah, there's a reason why no one understands, right? Because this is first a spiritual thing, a spiritual language. But the whole purpose of it is not so you can share it publicly. This is something so you can share from you to God. Verse 3, he says, He says, "But one who prophesies speaks to men for edification and exhortation and consolation." So he says, tongues is meant for men to God, but he says, "Oh, but the gift of prophecy is meant for men to men. It's meant for other people to hear what's going on." And the whole purpose is for edification, exhortation, and consolation. Those three things. Which is very helpful, right? In fact, this is the very framework that we use at SP when we're saying, oh, if you want to share a prophetic word, right? So we say, even when we communicate to newcomers when they come, we're like, oh, just so you know, like, because they're uncomfortable being prayed over prophetically. And we say, hey, just so you know, it's meant to edify, exhort, consolation. So you might not use that language, right? You might say, oh, it's supposed to be encouraging. So don't worry, you know, the word is not supposed to, it's not going to embarrass you or shame you or expose you, right? And so we use this as a framework. In fact, if sometimes even my members, when we're practicing praying for people, if they don't follow this, and sometimes they, you know, and sometimes it might be right, but it's how you phrase it, right? So instead of saying like, oh, sorry, Grace, you're right in front of me. Like, and it might be true. But it's how you deliver it, because this is what it's supposed to do. So instead of saying, "Grace, I see that you are really struggling with lust, and you say it publicly, and she's like, oh my gosh, it's true, it's so embarrassing, right? And that's not the intent. How can you still give her a word that would be encouraging and all that? You would say, oh, Grace, God really wants to give you an extra measure of faith so that you can overcome, you know, the flesh and really walk in the spirit. Something like that, right? So it's accomplishing, in fact, like the person, they know what it means, right? And it's coming as a, instead of exposing, like, this is what's wrong, you're actually sharing instead, this is what God wants to do for you. So even though it's easy to glaze over this part, it's like, this is actually our framework. Always when you share a word, it should have these three things, right? And then he's very clear. Why is it that some other distinctions of why tongues versus prophecy? So he says, one who speaks in tongues edifies himself. One who prophesies edifies the church. Right? And so already it's like, basically, why is prophesying, quote, superior? Because it helps others, right? Whereas tongues only helps yourself. And now, it's not a bad thing when we say speaking in tongues edifies yourself. It's not a bad thing, right? It is what it is. He's just defining things. But he's also defining things that prophecy actually can help the body, helps others. Because, you know, we're trying to build up the body. We're not just trying to build up. And Paul already knew, like, oh, even as I'm telling you how much prophecy, how that prophecy is superior, I can already foresee you're going to suddenly say, oh, tongues is bad. It's so selfish, right? And so everyone just speaks but no. You know, in chapter 12, Paul talks about the many different spiritual gifts and how they all come from the same source, right, which is the Holy Spirit. So it would be silly to think one is actually bad, right? Because they all come from the giver. And so he says, also, he says, I wish that you spoke in tongues, right? And it shows that Paul, he is positive about it. And in fact, at the end, in verse 18, he actually says, and I guess, you know, I think probably there's a flesh side to Paul. And he even says, I thank God I speak tongues more than you all, right? He knew the value of the tongues. And I think even though we don't understand, and I think that's sometimes our struggle with speaking tongues. So I think almost for our context, we probably need to promote tongues more. But there's something about speaking in tongues, because it's a spiritual language, even though we don't understand, that when you partake in it, your spirit, how I think of it is like, our spirit, when we speak in tongues, really connects with the Holy Spirit, right? Because it's the language that's being used. And it kind of edifies and it builds yourself up, I should say. Builds your spirit up. And that is, in a selfish way, a really wonderful, great thing for you. It doesn't help others, but it's really wonderful, even for me. Right? Whenever I'm scared, right? I don't know. If I walk into a place and it feels creepy, or if I'm scared, I pray in tongues. Whenever I'm in a difficult situation where you can feel tenseness, what do? I pray in tongues, right? And because it does something to build my spirit. And he just goes on to say, like, so tongues are a good thing, but it's in these verses, he's trying to just help us to understand what the purpose is of tongues, and therefore, I guess, make use of tongues in the proper, appropriate way. And some of the examples he uses, he's kind of funny, Paul. He says at 6, he parallels it to music instruments. He says, even lifeless things, flute or harp, in producing a sound, if they do not produce a distinction in sounds, how will it be known? I think of little kids or my kids, or actually, you know, they don't know how to play a music instrument, and they're just dun, 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 on the drum, dun, like, they're so happy, so filled with joy, it's great for them. But if you play like that, does that do anything for anyone else? Right? It's cute as a kid, but if an adult was just on stage, just smashing the keys, we'd be like, what are you trying to do? Right? So the parallel is, even with when you're playing a musical instrument, it's important that it functions and does what it's supposed to do, which is, it's supposed to play the right note, and I guess play the right beat, and then it's basically, I don't know if this is right terminology, but that the music is able to be communicated through the proper playing so that we can receive it. And he's paralleling it to, it's basically communication, right? Because when you speak in tongues, you're not able to communicate with somebody. They are not able to hear the same message. And then Paul also uses the same languages, right? Do you ever have people who would speak a language to you that you don't understand? Usually not, right? Maybe they'll say a few phrases, but you would say like, oh, why are you speaking to me like this? It's because they're trying to show off, probably. Or I don't know why, right? They're maybe trying to show off, oh, I know this language. You don't. But for the most part, you would not, because what's the point of communicating your language to someone that you don't know? And he compares it to like two barbarians who are trying to speak to each other. And I think of my mother-in-law, because she doesn't speak English. She only speaks Korean. I don't speak Korean, so I speak to her in English. And we're like barbarians, right? We're just saying our language, trying to emphasize a certain word so you hope they'll understand. And there's a lot of sign language going on, right? And that's what speaking in tongues is like. So we'll end here because time. Verse 19, the last, he says, however, in the church, I desire to speak 5 words with my mind so that I may instruct others rather than 10,000 words in a tongue, right? And the backing behind this is love. And so why do we love? It's for the other person. It's not for our self-gain. It's not about us. It's about taking care of the other person. And speaking in tongues does not usually do that. Unless you can asterisk, unless you can interpret the tongue. Right? And so he said, Paul, actually, what he's asking, hoping for is that if you speak in tongues, wonderful, but you should pray for the gift of interpretation for yourself. Right? In which case, if you have that and you come up on stage, I would say you don't need to speak in the tongues. You don't have to like, oh, blah, blah, blah. Now here's the interpretation, right? You just come up. The point, what's the point? It's not to look spiritual or sound spiritual. The point is to communicate and build up the body and bless the church. So you just come up, share the interpretation. Even with when in prophecy at house church, we tell people, just share the interpretation. No need to share the picture or your process about how you got it. The reason we do that is because we want to be understood, right? So it's like, oh, I got this picture of a balloon and da 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 da, and people are confused until you explain what it meant. So we say, just explain what it means, right? And then it's a lot shorter, it's a lot more concise, and people can just receive it. It's all about communication. Invite Mon up. I just want to reiterate, both spiritual gifts are wonderful. You should pursue both, right? And Paul is so thankful that he can speak in tongues. I'm so thankful. Otherwise, I'd just be at a loss for words a lot of times. When I feel like praying, I wouldn't even know what to say. But just stating facts, prophecy, is better for the body. Speaking in tongues is better for your body, but speaking prophecy is great for the body because it encourages, it edifies, it glorifies God. I love when we're making use of the prophetic gifts, especially for new people who come, because you know, they come, they're seeking God, and they get to experience God. They feel like God is so real. And so, yeah, encourage you guys. I mean, I guess I just felt like first and foremost is just to even make use of the gifts. Before we even compare and which one we should do more, let's just do it. Right? So if you're listening online or if you're here, you know, really pray in the Spirit. It can be both. Really look for opportunities to prophesy over one another. House church is coming. You can do that in house church this week. And so just, if you don't have the gifts, just take some time just to seek it. Ask. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you receive, and your joy will be complete. And these are gifts that I believe the Lord would love to give you. But sometimes it starts with our desire to want a gift too. And so, if that's you, just go before the Lord. Seek after them.
Strength to make
Turn to the screens. Let's pray for our community. No. Okay. I'll just do it by memory. Let's pray for our community. Let's pray for those who are going through cancer. And so this is just, we don't have it on the screen, so just whatever comes to mind, whoever the Spirit leads you to pray for. Let's pray for those who are going through cancer. Let's pray for those going through chemo, radiation therapy as well. Let's pray for God to heal, to encourage, to give them strength, and even to find joy during this tough season. Let's pray for God to really minister. Let's also pray for those who are sick, but also in need of a word of salvation. Let's pray for God to heal and speak to the people, for fertile hearts to receive the word into their lives, and for opportunities to come to speak to them. Let's also pray for those who are suffering from infirmities. Let's pray for God's full restoration. Let's also pray for those who have COVID right now. Pray for strength and to get through the isolation and quarantine. Let's also pray for any frontline workers. So these are doctors, nurses, anyone who's on the front lines dealing with this. Let's also pray for those looking for jobs right now. Let's pray for God to open doors, for God to lead them to the right job for them. Finally, let's pray for our meetings today. Let's pray for SPU, SP Youth, GIC, and IP, sorry. So IP, SP Youth, SPU, GIC. Let's pray. Let's also go to our mission focus. Let's pray for Japan. Let's pray for P. Sophia, Jungmin, and Hyunjin, who are part of the SP Tokyo plant. Let's also pray for U.S., specifically pray for Kelly, Jess, and Ruth, who are part of the SPNY plant. And let's also pray for India. Let's pray for Kelly. And I think she's having a time of rest in Singapore, so we can pray for her time. Let's also pray for our mission council, P. Samuel, Tim, Sally, Mike, and John. Let's pray for their unity, pray for their direction and vision, and a lot of wisdom and discernment as we're working with different other nonprofits together. Let's pray. Let's pray for SP Fam as well, Foster Adoption Ministry. Let's pray for this ministry. Let's also pray for the pregnancies at SP. Let's pray for Tayon and Hina and other moms. Let's pray for their protection and energy and just joy over them. Father God, give thanks for this day. We just want to fix our eyes on you and align ourselves with what is on your heart. To love, Lord, to love people the way we treat them, the way we want our attitudes and intentions. To help, to encourage, to edify, Lord. And we thank you for these spiritual gifts that you have given to us. They are gifts, Lord. Pray that we would be faithful with them, that we would make use of them and practice, Lord, and that we would, especially with prophesying, that we would step out in faith and be able to touch people. And unless we step out in faith, we'll never know, Lord. Unless we step out in faith, we would not be able to give you a chance to work and do something amazing, Lord. And so give us faith and courage to do that, Lord. Be with us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.